You know, as I travel around, and for most of my life, I will say this. When I pass a church and there's a cross on top, it's a call. You know, like, what's going on here? And I think about that often. And I know when I was in the service and I travel at night sometimes, I'd see a lit up cross and it would make me feel at home. And I question this. And I will say that I'm going to try and zip through this and we can have a little question and answer time, because new life and resurrection is amazing. It irks me that we have to die first. But that's the way it is. You know, one time, and I will say, I'm a disciple of Christ by two parts. I'm a Unitarian Universalist in one part, and I'm a unity person in one part. Charles Fillmore has filled me in ways that, you know, he's a true American mystic in my mind. You know, I, for years, was looking for the key to the universe. You know, if we could just find the key, we could do it. And I met this elder Native American woman, and I was telling her I was looking for the key to the universe, and she said, "Oh, honey, the universe was left unlocked." Aww. That changed me. It opened me. It shifted my path. Something in me died. Can we just use this mic? Okay, thank you. No, I'm going to jettison this. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm not real good with contraptions. But over and over in my spiritual journey, I've learned this secret that's hidden in plain life, plain sight. You know, the way means the path, the road, a manner or method of doing something. And I think one of the things I like about unity is most people I've met are on a vital journey. To not just, you know, I always say what we're really seeking is the self. The seeker seeks the seeker. And once we find it, we find our own dharma, our own place of being in the world and how we do that. But over and over, this understanding of the way has come to mind over and over. Now, a little Bible study. The five or six places that our teachings come from are Paul, Mark, Luke, Matthew, and John. All of those came within the lifetime of family members and followers. Paul came first, probably around 30 AD. Then came Mark, probably about 50. Luke and Matthew between 70 and 85. And it's interesting when you look at the difference in the Gospels. They seem to be talking to different audiences. Luke was talking to a Gentile audience. And Matthew was talking to a Hebrew or a Jewish audience. And here's the thing. You don't sell a bagel in New York the same way you do in California. And that's what the Gospels were doing. They were trying to share this deep message to these different communities, had different ways of understanding the world. And for me, by the time we get to John, which is about 100, it feels to me like the Gospel got fully baked. And something else happened. It was universalized. When I read John, I can read Hinduism and Buddhism and Taoism, and they all seem to fit. This whole concept of the way, the way. Now, John does not seem to require the ascent of belief. In other words, if you believe this, you'll go to heaven. If you don't, you're going to hell. I don't abide by that. And I have to admit, I'm thankful that I don't. So, the way of life, according to John, is very simple. It's dying and rising. That's it. Dying and rising. Over and over. That is the way. It's not about belief. It's about experience and how we participate in this holy activity that Jesus showed us in a glorious way. And here we are, how many thousands of years later, still seeing the light, no matter how soft it might burn, of this truth. So, One of the things that I realized is, and I'm going to use a couple scriptures here. The first is the opening to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you go to Fillmore, he says the Word, he uses the word logos instead of the Word. And he says that logos is basically the creative, law-giving, revealing activity of God. And it's basically that through which everything is created. Another word that Scripture uses is pattern. And I love this. In the beginning was the pattern. And the pattern was with God, and the pattern is God. And most of us, you know, for me, the backside of Silver Mountain when I was young, when I was the first one on that backside, something about the pattern in me lined up. It was an amazing moment. And I think we all had those. And the second scripture I want to talk about is from John 12. When Jesus says, he's talking about his death, he says, if a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it just remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Boy, there's a lot happening in that. I don't know about you, but those places in my life that really sucked, I look back and there are these pivot points where something new happened. And it's an amazing, amazing place. I think there's this continual transformation cycle that Fillmore definitely lifted up over and over. And even today in Connor's reading, is calling us to participate in it. It's not about believing something so we'll go to heaven. It's not about Jesus dying for our sins. It's about Jesus showing us how to die to our own sins, that we might become new. And again, it really ticks me that we have to die first, but welcome to reality. And it hurts. So for me, Jesus and this amazing thing is an experience that is continual. And when we consciously participate in it, we are in that heavenly activity. Now I'm going to share something about my daughter, because when I think of her, when I think of this and I think of her, it lines up. Now, my daughter first, you know, she was young, 6 years old or something. We put her in ballet. Everybody's sitting like this, right? And my daughter's going boing, 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 boing. And I realized maybe ballet's not for her. So we put her in gymnastics, and she was a natural. Yeah. She excelled. Now, before I start, I'm going to tell you this. Whoever did a backflip on a 4-inch piece of lumber the first time should have been sent to their room without supper. They should not have been told, hey, can you do that again? Well, my daughter, she just excelled. Her whole life was, I'm a gymnast. And she was. Until that day that beam turned on her and she fell. And just like that, after surgery, she was no longer a gymnast. For the next couple weeks after school, I'm sorry, it chokes me up because it still speaks to me, we would find her in the middle of her floor in her room all balled up. We couldn't touch her. I mean, seriously, she was somewhere. She was in the land of the dead. You know, Jesus, he gets crucified and he spends 3 days in hell. That's where she was. And what's cool is something begins to emerge out of the chaos, out of this place where our order of understanding, our inner chaos, where we slowly, something coagulates and emerges and becomes new. And we become a new person. And Sophie did. By the way, she's become a new person a number of times. She's still extremely intense. But she now works with homeless vets in Seattle, and she's not done yet. And that's good news. The way. Now, I will admit that the way is anxiety-inducing. You know, a lot of people, they avoid it because they don't want to feel the wrenchingness of what it's like to die, to become new. And yet, it's part of it. And as God is my witness, the more we embrace that, the more we allow it to have its way with us and for us to participate consciously, the more something new comes to bear. It begins to emerge, a small itty-bitty light in that chaos that we have somehow fallen into. Let's just face it, dying ain't easy, and it's our nature to resist change. It's part of human nature. So you see what we're doing, and we're seeing why Jesus had to glorify this place, because it's so hard to embrace. It's so hard to allow this to happen to us and to seek the dark. But unless a seed is pushed into the dark, it will not find new life. And it's the same with us. And again, I think it sucks, but what are we going to do? I think becoming new over and over is everything. And when we make dying and rising a way of life, well, for me, that's genuine discipleship. That's the genuine journey. And you know, the Buddha said it, it's all suffering. Yet, he always talked about getting off the wheels of karma. He always talked about freedom and liberation. And this was a guy who left his wife and kids, by the way. Let's not make light of that. It's how this way, this living and dying and becoming new, it's how I've hardwired this love made known in Jesus Christ into my life, into my soul, into my spiritual journey. And it seems so simple, but it's wrenching. And it's very difficult to face that and say yes to it. And yet, welcome to picking up your cross. It's an amazing journey. Now, I have to say that for me, Easter places this taking up the cross experience squarely before us. Jesus is showing us how to consciously participate in the ongoing event that is the way. For me, it's not about believing something so we can go to heaven, but about becoming new so we can experience heaven right here on earth. And it's accessible. I think Connor said that. It's accessible. The I am is right here. It's no further than your deepest self. Getting there is a hard time because, especially in the West, boy, do we have some distractions. Hoy vey. But it's happening to us all the time. And when we say yes to it, we take up our cross and allow ourselves to die, to go into the land of the dead, and to rise up anew. This is the secret hidden in plain sight. This is the way. It's simple, yet the most challenging event in the human consciousness in my mind. So I've laid out some stuff. I have a few minutes here. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What about Peter?
Well, Peter comes later.
Paul.
Paul is the first. He was, you know, he was Saul, and then he had an experience which wrenchingly tore him apart, and he became a new person. And I think Paul's earliest understanding, the letters especially, what comes out over and over is love. You know, he was the first person in history that when there was one of the communities that he was part of was starving, he got another community that wasn't starving and had food sent to there. It was a different way of being. And these early communities were trying to lift that up, that love is, it is a love gig. And I can't get past that. And Lord knows I've tried. Anybody else? Now, come on, there's got to be some questioning souls in this place. Well, then, if not, let's listen. Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, yes, sir.
Oh, I was just going to ask about your daughter. And where, I think a lot of us were very interested in her story. Can you elaborate a little more what she's doing now? You know,
she lived independently for a long time because she wasn't going to have what goes with other people. And she found a boyfriend, and something new is happening. She's become a different person. The party is over for her. And it's a real delight to see that. You know, getting drinking, the smoking dope, and all that stuff. Mm-mm. Eating meat, mm-mm. It's a whole different gig. She lives in Seattle. She's happier than I've ever seen her. And I could just cry because she's my kid. And, you know, we watch our kids go through stuff. It's hard. Anybody else? We have time for one more. Yes, ma'am.
So I think what you said is when you find yourself in the dark night of the soul, it's your invitation to pick up the cross and carry it and become new. Why don't you give some hints about how one does that?
Well, you know, Fillmore had a question, an answer to that. So did Buddha. Three things: attention, attention, attention. How we learn to pay attention to those moments, how we learn to see them and say, wow, this is one of those moments. I think that takes study. It takes grace. It takes being open to love, both giving and receiving. And the dark is not as scary when you know that you're going to come out of it not alone. Also, that you're not alone in it. And I think that that dark night of the soul, that is where we're closest to the I am. And it's where the I am is most vital as a seed to grow something new in us, if that's helpful. You know, this whole dark thing, let's go bang our head against the wall, you know? I mean, seriously. Somebody back there had one more? Yes, ma'am.
Where can I hear your podcast?
You can go just put Red Hawk, The Deep End. And it'll send you to a number of different places. And I'm not just sharing my beliefs. We just like thinking about stuff. You know what I mean? And going, what the heck? What's this all about? And whatever thread we pull on, believe me, there's no thread you can pull on that's not going to go to the deep end if you just keep pulling on it. I mean, do family of origin stuff. Whoa, boom. Amazing stuff. So anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Just a phrase that resonates with me that I think capsulizes another way of looking at it is letting go and letting God.
Amen. Amen. And that letting go piece, that is so hard. That is so hard. When you talk about the dark and the dark night of the soul, how do you let go of your old self when your old self has served you so well? That is a very difficult piece. And that's where faith comes in to me. That's where trust comes in. And we learn that. We learn it in community. We learn it in family. And that's always helpful. But thank you for that. That's very good. And I think the choir is going to do an opening to my meditation.
Thank you.
This is a transliteration of the Lord's Prayer, not through the Greek or Latin, but through the language that Jesus spoke, Syriac, Aramaic. O thou the breath of God, the light of all, let this light create a heart shrine within, and your counsel rule till oneness guides all. Your one desire then acts with ours, as in all light, so in all forms. Grant what we need each day in bread and insight. Loose the cords of mistakes binding us as we release the strands we hold of others' faults. Don't let surface things delude us, but keep us from unripe acts. To you belongs the ruling mind, the life that can act and do, the song that beautifies all. From age to age it renews. In faith, I will be true. Hallelujah and amen.